Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Hello, everyone. Welcome in live nationwide and around the world to Ron Segi Today. We have a special theme show for this week. Coming up on Wednesday, August 16th, will mark the 46th anniversary of the passing of Elvis Presley. And our first guest is author Sally Hodel, who's penned a book called Destined to Die Young. You got to hear this interview. Later on, the captain of the Lisa Marie with also a new book, which is called From Iowa to Elvis. And then next hour, we're going to be talking to Hal Lansky, who was the man who really was responsible for the clothes that Elvis wore early on in his career. Julian Garr's got a book out, 100 Things Elvis Fans Should Do Before They Die. And then we have, of course, our lifestyle segment. And that's all coming up this week with Ron Segi Today, and I'll be right back with Sally Hodel.
It's obvious. The unthinkable continues. Most Americans know something very wrong is happening. People in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. That's why self-reliant folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $200 on each three-month food kit you purchase. My Patriot Supply also sells solar generators, gravity-powered water filters, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship that same day and arrive quickly on your doorstep in unmarked boxes. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Time is running out to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
So I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case.
And we are back live, nationwide and around the world. You're listening to Ron Segi Today, and that voice needs no introduction. Coming up this Wednesday, August 16th, Elvis Presley has been gone 46 years. And our next guest has been on the show with us in the past, but we didn't spend as much time as I wanted because of a time element. And we have brought her back on this weekend that we are remembering the king. And the name of the book is Destined to Die Young. And I have to tell you something. I was in Elvis's company many times, and she's hit it right on the nose. This book and what's contained in it should have been out a long time ago because it really tells the backstory of how a lot of people around the world thought Elvis died. Joining us right now is Sally Hodel. Hi, Sally. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining us again. I know you've been on a crazy schedule and that you're going to be in Graceland this weekend signing books along with our mutual friend Ron Strauss, who, of course, was the pilot of the Lisa Marie, and thank you for getting us together. Sally, this book, as I mentioned in the introduction, is really a book that sheds new light on the passing of Elvis. I happened to see a clip of Charlie Hodge recently. Of course, we lost him a few years ago. Explaining a lot of the reasons why Elvis Presley was on medicated drugs. And you outlined that in this book. It's great how you do it because you talked about the fact that a lot, if not the majority, of the reasons that he, by birth, had inherited a lot of problems was the reason he was taking drugs to get rid of the pain. Tell us a little about it, because it included glaucoma, liver, an enlarged heart, COPD, arthritis, urinary tract infection, a megacolon, a twisted colon. There's hypertension. There was a lot of issues that he was born with.
Absolutely. You know, Elvis's story is always told as one of self-destruction. And what we know from studying these health issues and really the root of them, you know, many of them are genetic in nature, is that his story is absolutely one of survival and not self-destruction. You know, first survival through extreme poverty and then extreme fame, and then he was dealing with all these health issues that, you know, some of them they were aware of, some of them they weren't. You know, like an immune system disorder, they wouldn't have known how to treat that in the 70s, obviously. Today, they're still difficult to treat, right? But by the time Elvis passes in 1977, he has disease or disorder in 9 of the 11 systems of the body, and many of which you just mentioned. And they have been dismissed for decades as the end result of the prescription medication. And what the research shows is that at least 5 of those 9 were present prior to fame. There's evidence, there's testimony of them, most likely since birth. Like I said, they are genetic in nature. His maternal grandparents, Elvis's maternal grandparents, were first cousins. And that doubling of the gene pool, so to speak, created a lot of issues. And, you know, for me as a lifelong fan, even as a girl reading these books and studying Elvis and learning, I always wondered, why does he die in a similar way, similar age as his mother? You know, they both kind of suffer this 4-year period of degenerative health. And this really answers that question of why. They both had the same flawed genetic material because of that first cousin marriage, which we really see the implications in Gladys, his mother. And then she has 3 brothers who die, you know, age 46, 49, 58. Gladys passes at 46, all liver, heart, related issues. And then when it happens to Elvis, it stops being a coincidence because there's just so much evidence of it in the family tree.
As I told you before, Joe Esposito and I were very, very close. In fact, we were partners on several ventures. And he would always tell me that it goes beyond what you read in the newspaper because of these issues that, in some cases, he didn't even know of. Because, you know, when you're a rock and roll star or anything, you're in the public eye, the last thing you want to have anybody know is that you have some kind of a problem with your colon. And in fact, it was even, I guess, suggested to him one time to have a colostomy, which of course in the mid-70s, and I have a member of my family that was posed that question, it was crazy. I mean, you know, you're not going to put a jumpsuit on and have this thing connected to yourself. Resection was a possibility. He didn't want to do that, but he did have a toxic colon, which created an enormous uncomfortable situation, and you didn't want to discuss that with even the closest member, let alone your employees or the general public or the media.
Absolutely. You know, today we talk about health in a much more open way, right? There's celebrity endorsement for yogurt that helps your digestive system on TV all the time, but it certainly wasn't like that back in the day, and it certainly wasn't like that for men in the 70s. You know, Elvis was the head of that organization. He was, you know, people will say, well, the Memphis Mafia didn't talk about him being sick all the time. Well, he didn't talk to them about it, most likely, because he had to be that strong male. He had to be the boss. You know, there is a lot of that. And again, the colon problem in particular, always written off because the prescription medication absolutely would have slowed down his digestive system. But there is testimony of him having this problem in Lauderdale Court, so in the high school years. And then we have Annie Presley now on record, who was very close with Gladys when Elvis was growing up. And it was a problem from birth, that Gladys struggled with Elvis and constipation and all of that from the time he was born and as a toddler. So we know it was a lifelong problem. And we also know it caused a lot of pain for Elvis long before we really see the effects of it, you know, because in the late 70s, we see the bloated stomach and all of that. But as early as, I believe, 1971, he writes his TCB oath. And in that oath, he talks about a variety of things. But one of the last things he says is freedom from constipation and the pain associated with it. So if we think of 71 as Elvis the way it is and how, you know, dynamic he is in that concert performance, so active in comparison to even Aloha in 73, where he really doesn't move very much, he was experiencing that pain even in 71, and it becomes a problem, and we see it in his performances as he becomes, you know, less active, really, on stage.
And the early to mid-70s, there was no such thing as an MRI to detect this. Again, someone in my family suffers from Crohn's disease, and all of the symptoms that you're talking about in the book is very similar to Crohn's disease.
Absolutely, and they wouldn't have identified that back then.
No.
They certainly, like you said, they didn't have an MRI yet. They didn't have a CAT scan yet. They were relying on x-rays. Multiple people said, including Dr. Nick, that they didn't know how bad it was until the autopsy. So they really didn't know what they were dealing with. There is all sorts of inflammation issues related to Elvis, you know, from the colon problem, but then through his immune system issue, we know he suffered from something called hypogammaglobulinemia, which means his immune system couldn't fight infection. So he was routinely sick and often had fevers and struggled with those kinds of things. And again, you know, the stories were always, well, Elvis is pretending to be sick to get more medication, but he really was sick and his body couldn't fight infection. So the inflammation that would have come from that problem, in addition to the inflammation that would have been created by the digestive issue, you know, which we all know, we understand inflammation now in a way that we didn't before.
Right.
When Elvis talks about how he had pain all over his body, he absolutely would have. He would have been in tremendous pain just from the inflammation, the arthritic pain it would have created, and things like that.
And a young man getting glaucoma in his mid-30s was unusual, and you say arthritis. I mean, it's not that these things don't take place in the young, but he certainly didn't look like the type of person that would be stricken with something that would debilitate him as it did. And if somebody's listening to the show right now, they're going to say, some people will say, why are you talking about this? Why are you saying this? Because, you know, let the poor guy rest in peace and quit talking about something that was very private in his life. Why would you talk about it after he's gone? The very simple reason is to defend the reason that possibly people may have about him being an all-and-out drug addict, because the medication he was taking was for ailments that people didn't even know he had when he was alive.
Absolutely. I mean, it changes his entire story, again, from one of self-destruction to survival, which is unbelievable, because Elvis' story is already incredible, right? His rise to fame from the type of poverty that he grew up in is unbelievable. The way he culturally shifted the universe is remarkable. I always talk a lot about how I want Elvis to be thought of as a historical figure, because he culturally shifted the universe in the same kind of impact as a Henry Ford or a Thomas Edison in terms of changing things radically, but he did it in a cultural way. And if we're going to look at him as a historical figure, we need to get away from this idea of, you know, Elvis took too many pills and died in the bathroom, because unfortunately for young people, that might be all they know. So if we can talk about his contributions more, that's number one. But number two, if we can explain, again, his demise as one of survival, you know, it is really important. It does impact his legacy. It does affect how he's remembered. And he did. He suffered through a lot of disease and disorder. And yes, he turned to the medication. And yes, the medication becomes a problem at times. You know, we also have to understand the limitation of some of that medication in the 1970s. They didn't have Lunesta and Ambien, for example, just to treat something like insomnia. So they're giving him much stronger things that have tolerance issues and addiction issues. You know, all of that is a very real problem too. But at the heart of it, Elvis was a very sick man. And I think it's incredibly important layer of his story.
I do too. We're going to pause for a second. My very special guest is my friend, Sally Hodell. The name of the book is Destined to Die Young, the backstory of Elvis Presley and the reason he passed away at such a young age. Sally and I will be right back with another segment. As we remember Elvis Presley, this Wednesday, August 16th, will mark 46 years since his passing.
Since my baby left me, when I found a new place to dwell, when it's down at the end of a lonely street, that
do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
But I can't help.
We're back live nationwide and around the world. We are now recognizing this weekend Elvis Presley. This Wednesday marks 46th year of the passing, most likely the biggest star ever in the entertainment world, dying at 42. He's been gone longer than he was with us. Our special guest is my friend Sally Hodel. She's got a brand new book out called Destined to Die Young. It's the backstory of Elvis and why he probably died back in August of 1977. And she's this weekend at Graceland signing that book. If you get a chance to get it. It's a remarkable book. It does really tell the story of Elvis's terrible inherited ailments that he tried to correct medically, which ultimately got him hooked on the medication. Sally, one of the things that they say happened was that he had, and I'm not probably going to pronounce this right, Reiter's syndrome?
Yeah, that is one possibility. It's all correlated to the immune system and his eye trouble, right? Because the glaucoma and the swelling, and it's all correlated. You know, Dr. Nick identified some of these things in his book, but he really didn't talk about how they can snowball, how one thing leads to the next. And that's really what this book does, is it draws those lines and connects those things. A lot of it is genetic in nature, like we're talking about. Inflammation is an issue. And again, a lot of these things, like the glaucoma that you mentioned, they are geriatric in nature. So it was very bizarre for Elvis to have these things at such a young age. You know, he has glaucoma by 38. You know, the other issue that Elvis has is adrenal gland. It is impossible to function without your adrenal gland. They did do some supplementing and trying to correct that, but we now know how important the adrenal glands are in a way they didn't back then. And that's why I say without the medication, there's no way Elvis could have been Elvis those last couple of years.
You know, all of the bad things that happened to Dr. Nick after his death, really, after you read this book, you see that he really didn't have much of a choice. Esposito used to tell me, hey, Ron, you know, when he wanted something, if you didn't give it to him, he'd just get it someplace else, whether it was drugs or cars or a guitar that he wanted. In the book, there is a drug protocol on tour. I won't run down the whole thing, but it tells what happens at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, an hour before performance, moments before the performance, immediately after performance, bedtime, if needed. In the beginning, first, you have a voice shot, vitamins, meds for dizziness, a laxative, 3 appetite suppressants, testosterone. And that's what is fascinating about it, because he always talked about, and not necessarily him, but the people around him said about enormous pressure put on him from touring. Now, Sally, I know he did a lot of shows, and I know they really bled him really pretty good in Vegas, even 3 shows a day, which is unheard of. But when you look at other entertainers at the time, they were on the road more often. The concerts that they did actually on stage without the warm-up act and everything like he had with the Sweet Inspirations, and the travel arrangements that he had versus being on a bus, you know, he had his own airplane, or he had it relatively easy. He didn't have to go in for a sound check, nothing. Why was it considered such a pressing schedule for him? Because when you compare it to other rock and roll bands at the time, not only groups, but individual singers. I mean, Willie Nelson lives on the road in a bus in a very, very archaic fashion. Why was that considered such stress? Because of all the entertainers at that time, I think he had the best deal of all of them.
In some ways, because like you're saying, the travel is top-notch, right? Worked out to a T, and it's a very well-oiled machine, especially when the Lisa Marie, the airplane, gets involved, right? Because touring, it happens like clockwork. But it was a grueling schedule. Like when he plays Vegas there, you know, especially in the first several years, he's playing 2 shows a night for 30 days. 60 shows in 30 days. That's very strenuous, and then it's incredibly strenuous for someone like Elvis, who has all these health issues. So we know that he takes more medication when he's touring versus when he's not. we know that, you know, especially those last couple of years, you can look at those tours beginning, and he does okay for the first couple of weeks, and then it starts to go downhill, and it's really the wear and tear on his body and the fact that his body can't handle it. And, you know, the same was true in the 1950s when he's crisscrossing the South, you know, 54, 55, and beginning of 56. I believe it's 55 that he collapses, you know, after one of the shows, an extreme exhaustion. So I think those movie years really saved him in a lot of ways because there was routine and structure to his schedule, because when he is on the road, it is so hard on his failing immune system, on the digestive issues. Touring is hard work, and it is hard on the body. Bands in the 70s were touring. Well, people like Ozzy Osbourne, you know, were touring like crazy, and they were doing serious drugs and drinking a ton, and they lived to tell. And here Elvis was taking prescription medication, and he dies at 42.
Yeah.
So, again, it's just one of those red flags that clearly there was much more wrong with Elvis, you know, than just what he was taking.
When you did a show like Elvis, you know, if you were Perry Como, you could do 10 shows a day and never get out of breath. But certainly Elvis's dynamic stage shows were very difficult to do because of the energy there. So totally understand that. And I know after the Aloha from Hawaii show, he was pretty depleted from energy after only going on a diet with only 500 calories a day. Death, they say, would have come slowly if it was an OD. You have in the book that he would have probably started to faint, being able to maybe recoup, organize himself instead of being found the way he was. That's why probably his heart attack was so quick. And of course, the Valsalva technique added to it.
Even the medication he was taking for a reason is going to be hard on your body over time. But there is no evidence of his death being an overdose death at all. It was a very quick heart-related issue. If you die of an overdose, it's a slower death. Heart-related event, which caused him to stand up and fall forward, and he died rather quickly. Cardiac arrhythmia, you can debate what might have caused that. It's about the Valsalva maneuver, which is when you're straining, whether it's in childbirth or it's an issue with scuba diving. It's certainly if you're in the bathroom, and that can change the pressure, you know, the blood pressure rather radically, and it can create cardiac arrhythmia, and it can lead to your death. And since we know he had genetic heart disease in his family, and we know that there was this liver-related issue, you know, all of that is at play.
He would have died probably around that age anyway, because these ailments went unaddressed, were not able to be cured. Certainly, the inability to correct the intestinal problem, the enlarged heart, the fatty liver, which, of course, Tylenol can give you, he probably would have died anyway if he didn't have these other problems corrected.
I think so, because when you look at this family tree and you see his mother, 46, his uncle, 58, another uncle, 49, another uncle, 46, and they all suffer from the same type of ailments that Elvis suffers from. So I think he would have passed young anyways. Because it's such a delicate topic, but also because it's Elvis Presley, I wanted to make sure that he got that level of journalistic integrity with this project.
And you did it too. Sally, if we're not at Graceland getting a signed copy, now I happen to have, ladies and gentlemen, a signed copy, okay? So I don't even have to go to Graceland to get this. But where can you get the book, Sally?
Absolutely. All the copies ordered from my website will be signed, and that's elvisauthor.com. And, of course, it's also on Amazon if that's easier for people. But those books are not signed.
And I can't wait till you come down here to Florida and we can break bread together and possibly be joined by Ron Strauss, who is the other book that Sally was responsible for. And he's coming up on our show on this hour, and he was the pilot of the Lisa Marie. Sally, thanks for joining us, and I look forward to your return and seeing you soon.
Thank you so much. Let's make that happen. Appreciate it.
This weekend, remembering the King of Rock and Roll, coming up this Wednesday, August 16th, marks the 46th anniversary of the passing of Elvis Presley. And coming up after the break, we'll be talking to Ron Strauss, the pilot of the Lisa Marie.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up. You, the maraschino cherry. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras. Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA News Update. More snow in store for more than 100 million Americans this weekend. Forecasters say two back-to-back storms will spread at least 3 inches of snow across some 18 states from Wyoming to New York. President Biden still believes there can be a solution between Israel and Palestine. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby told reporters Friday that Biden made those comments to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Those comments come after Netanyahu rejected the idea for a Palestinian state once the conflict in Gaza is over. Japan has now become the fifth country to successfully land on the moon. Their lander touched down on the moon yesterday.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
This is how we do every day.
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ag Council.
And we are back live nationwide and all around the world. You're listening to Ron Segi today. Actually, what you're listening to is Elvis Presley with a great song that he recorded called Promised Land about flying on a jet. We have a very exciting guest to have on our show today. He was the first officer on the Lisa Marie. He has a book that's written about him called Destined to Fly, the story of pilot Ron Strauss from Iowa to Elvis. Joining us is Ron Strauss. Hi, Ron. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Good. Thank you.
About a year or so ago, I was reading somewhere that you lived in Florida, and I told my producer, I said, you got to get a hold of Ron because I need to talk to him about his career with Elvis and in the military. And sure enough, I get a note from Sally Hodel, who's penned this book about you. First of all, I want to thank you for your service in the military and in the Air Force. You've had a remarkable career in the military. You were involved in a hijacking situation in Nicaragua. All of this time that you spent serving our country, but 2 years in the employment of Elvis Presley is probably one of the most interesting remembrances of your career. How did this whole thing start? Because I know you always wanted to fly an airplane, and you have flown some of the greats, including the Convair 880. How did it start for you?
Well, I started when I went in the Air Force at 17. I started out as an aircraft and engine mechanic, a B-47. And then I worked myself up to crew chief, and then I volunteered for the 141 to fly as flight engineer. And then I got out of the Air Force and took the VA training, and that's where it all started.
I mentioned about being a big fan of the Convair 880. I remember when I was just 11 years old, I took a Constellation, which I'm very proud to say I flew in, out to Arizona with my parents. On the way back, they said, there's a jet you're going to be flying. I said, oh, man, a jet. And I went in that Convair 880. From that day on, I loved that airplane, and you loved it, too.
Yes, I really did. I flew the 880, the 880M, and the 990.
What was the difference between the 880 and the 990?
Well, there was quite a bit of difference. The 880, well, it was a clean wing. It had no slats or anything. And then the 880M, they put the center tank in it, carried about 10,000 pounds, and they had leading edge flaps. And then the 990, that was really a cruiser. We descended at 0.92 Mach.
Wow. The Convair 80, which of course is not in service anymore, they were the Convair's answer to the Boeing 707 and the DC-8 that burned 1,700 gallons per hour of fuel. It took 2,200 gallons just to take off. Elvis bought a used one that was used by Delta Airlines. I think he paid $250,000 for it and then ended up spending $1 million on redecorating it. And you were chosen by Vernon in particular to be the pilot. All the flight records from the time our guest flew that plane are in this book, including the contract that you had with Vernon. When you first got the job, and I know back in the 50s, and you told this to Elvis one time, you weren't an Elvis Presley fan, but you certainly became one after you got this job. What was it like flying the King?
Oh, it was super. I mean, he was a great boss. He treated us super well all the time. Never had a problem at all with him. None whatsoever.
But one of the problems is you were on call, unlike any other commercial pilot in the world, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year. And that had to take a toll on the family, but you always had to be available.
Yes, that's true.
How did your wife handle that? Because you had a family.
She handled it better than most women, I think, could have. Because, you know, I was very disciplined with the kids and the family. When I would leave on a trip, she could handle it no problem at all. No problem.
What about the plane itself? I understand he wanted the bottom silver, like Air Force One, but wasn't able to get it for some reason or another. But he was still afraid of flying. And he made the comment to you one time. He said, look, I still have a fear of this. Don't take orders from anybody else saying, let's go, no matter what the weather is or what's a minor problem on the airplane. He wanted to be absolutely sure that plane was safe. Was it airworthy because it was an older plane? And, of course, airframe had been used several times. Was it a pretty safe airplane?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we have ferried from Wichita to Dallas, Fort Worth, and had the interior ripped apart and redone. And then we flew it to Long Beach and had some maintenance done out there. Then we flew it to Nashville, had some maintenance done there, and it was certified. And then we flew it to Memphis. It was a great airplane. I mean, it was in perfect shape.
Talked to many pilots that I knew over the years, and they said, well, you could always tell when the Lisa Marie was coming in because of the trail that it left. Was it environmentally restricted to some airports, Ron?
No, it wasn't restricted. We could go any place we wanted. Just sometimes we went and take it into the smaller airport, but it did smoke a lot, big time.
Everybody recognizes the name Milo High as being a pilot of Elvis's airplane. He only flew the Hound Dogs, the Jetstreams, never flew the Lisa Marie. It was yourself, Elwood David, and Jim Manny, who was the flight engineer. But you really struck a chord with Elvis a couple of times. The first time was when he asked you if you were a fan of his in the early 50s, and you said, no, not at all. And another time was when he came in with, and this was not uncommon, with a gun in his belt, and you asked him if it was loaded. And he said, why would I carry it if it wasn't? And you said, well, you got to be careful with it because at high altitudes, the pressurized cabin would be in a lot of danger. And he said, you worry about the flying, I'll worry about the gun. He was sensible, but he took risks, did he not?
Oh, he did. And that's true about the gun.
He always came in the cabin to say hello, see if anything was needed. Very cordial gentleman, of course. We all know that. You didn't have that kind of relationship with the colonel. Never said anything to you, did he?
I've never met the colonel. I saw him in Tahoe gambling, but we didn't have anything to do with Parker. We flew him one time from Palm Springs to Tampa, and that was it. But otherwise, we just have nothing to do with him.
Did you ever have any type of emergency on the plane?
Nope, never did.
A great story is when you went for a bank loan. Tell that story, going down to the bank president.
Well, you know, that was pretty cool because, you know, sometimes these jobs work out well and sometimes they don't. It was working out great for me. So I asked Elvis, I said, hey, Elvis, is there anything you would change in the airplane or crew or anything? No, he said, just keep doing exactly the way you are. So then I'd never, ever done any financing with Elvis. It was always with his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And then his dad talked to Elvis every night. So I went in, I had a stack of bills, and I went into the mansion. And then I asked him, I says, you know, Mr. Presley, is there anything you'd change on the airplane or crew or anything? He said, no, just keep doing exactly like you're doing. Well, I was renting a townhouse, and I decided to, at that time, my wife and I decided to buy a house. So when I talked to Mr. Presley, I asked him, I said, do you know where I could borrow some money? And he says, well, just go down to the bank. Well, I was really wanting him to grease the skids a little bit and call the banker
right, and
tell him I was coming down. But no, he didn't. He said, just go down to the bank and tell him who the hell you are. And I thought, wow, that's strange. So the next day or so, I went down to the bank, walked in, and I said, hey, I'd like to see the president. And he says, well, what about? I said, well, I'd like to borrow some money on a home purchase. And he says, well, Mary Lou or whoever it was does all that. Just go over and see her. And I says, well, no, I really want to see the president. He says, I told you, the president doesn't do the home loans. It's strictly Mary Lou. And I said, would you tell the president that Elvis Presley's pilot is here? So he goes in there, and the bank president yells out, hey, Ron, get in here. Come on in here. So we sat down, and we shot the breeze for about 5 minutes. Then he says, well, I guess you want some money. And I said, yeah. He said, how much you want? And I said, $73,000 or thereabout. And he says, well, how much interest do you want to pay? I said, just as very little as possible. And he said, well, when do you want the money? And I said, well, as quick as I can get it. So he threw this contract over to me. It was a blank sheet, nothing on it except, you know, the first party to the second party and all that stuff. So then I threw it back at the president. I says, I'm not going to sign that. And he says, well, why not? And I says, it's like signing a blank check.
Right.
He says, let me tell you, Ron, Elvis has got a floating checking account with $1 million in it. And he says, a whole bunch more. He says, you think I'm going to risk that for $73,000? I signed the thing, and a couple of days later, he had checked $73,000. That was it.
I think that was a great story. We're going to pause for a second. Our guest, Ron Strauss, he's got a book that was written about him. It's out right now, Destined to Fly, the story of pilot Ron Strauss, from Iowa to Elvis. He flew the Lisa Marie. And Ron and I will be right back with more with Ron Sedgie today.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We're back. It's Ron Sedgie today. My guest is here, Ron Strauss. He was the first officer on the Lisa Marie, Elvis Presley's private airplane. He did it for just a tad under 2 years, between 1975 and 1977, upon the untimely death of Elvis. Ron, you were flying out to Hawaii one time, and you asked my buddy, Joe Esposito, if your wife could go with you because there were four empty seats on the plane. And I can picture Joe saying, I spent millions of hours with him. Those seats are filled. from Oakland all the way out to Hawaii. A little later on when you were in flight, Elvis comes up into the cockpit and he asks if everything's all right, and you said okay, but he asked you, what about your wife? Tell that story.
Well, it was pretty neat. You know, when we found out we were going to Hawaii, I called Joe and I says, hey, Joe, can I take my wife on this trip? And he says, well, he says, you can, but he says, the problem, you know, the airplane originally, I guess, would carry 120 passengers. When Elvis got done with it, it would only carry 29 passengers. And he says, there's four open seats out of Memphis, but he says, in Oakland, we're overbooked. And I says, well, are you sure? And he says, oh, I'm positive. Well, there was four open seats out of Oakland. That's where we stopped and picked up fuel. So halfway to Honolulu, Elvis comes in the cockpit. Hey, how's it going, gang? And I said, well, the weather's good. We'll be there in 2.5 hours or thereabouts. Everything's going good. No problem. He says, Ron, I understand you're a little bit, well, I won't use the words he used. So I'll say ticked off.
Okay.
And I says, no, Elvis, I'm fine. No problem at all. No, he says, I'm madder than hell. He says, your wife, Betty, should be on this flight. And I says, well, maybe we'll catch you next time. No. He says, have her out here tomorrow. I'm paying first-class airline ticket. Memphis to Honolulu to Memphis. No problem at all. And I says, no, Elvis, I'm not going to do that. And he says, well, let me ask you something. He says, do you like flying for me? I says, yes, sir. He says, I told you, none of this sir stuff.
Right.
It's Elvis and Ron. That's it. And I said, okay. And he says, do I pay you enough? And I says, yep, no problem. He says, well, let me tell you something. If she's not out here tomorrow, I'll replace your butt. Well, I wasn't going to take the chance. So I called her and I told her, I says, hey, pack your bags. Elvis is paying for everything. First class airline ticket. She walked up, got reservations, of course, that night. She flew first class from Memphis nonstop to Honolulu. And she spent 4 or 5 days out there, and then she had to get back to her job and the kids. So first class airline ticket all the way back, because we didn't know when we were coming. So we came back, I don't know, 5 days thereabouts after she did, and Elvis came in the cockpit, same thing. He says, hey, did Betty enjoy her stay in Honolulu? I says, oh, absolutely, and thank you very much. I really appreciate that. And he says, nothing's too good for my troops. So I got back to Memphis, and I went to the mansion. I had a stack of bills. I was talking to Vernon. Went through each one, you know, pay this, pay that. And then I had this airline ticket, and I was really bashful, I guess, about giving it to him because it was expensive. So I gave it to Vernon. He says, Nancy, just pay it. And I says, but Mr. Presley, don't you want to look at that? No. He says, I already talked to Elvis. No problem. Pay him. And he did. Wrote me out a check. He did. She gave it to me.
I'm sure Joe E. got hell for that one.
Yeah. Well, Joe was a great guy.
Oh,
he treated
yeah.
us fantastic.
He is. He flew cross-country one time to be at a surprise birthday party from Las Vegas, where he was living at the time, to Orlando, Florida. Now, Joe's the best. I'm looking at a picture of him, me, and Elvis on my wall right now.
Oh, good.
How come you were selected of the flight crew to deal with Vernon? Because he could be pretty stingy at times, could he not?
Oh, he could. He was tight as he could be. Well, that's just the way it was. I mean, I worked entirely with Vernon, never with Elvis on finance,
yeah.
Never.
You were at Graceland the day that Elvis passed away. You were there in the morning, again, back in the office behind the mansion, getting some bills paid with Vernon, and he was in poor health. And then you went out and took a little ride on the go-kart and saw something very unusual, and that was Vernon being helped back to the mansion. And you thought that he looked very, very drawn and ill until you got home. Tell us about that, Ron.
We were going to Portland, Maine that night. Well, when I got the bills paid by Vernon, then I went out and I was driving Elvis's go-kart. I asked him, you know, months before that if we could drive that. And he says, absolutely. And he had some wicked go-karts. Boy, they were wicked. And I was out driving those and having a blast. Then I thought, well, it's time to go home and get some sleep because tonight may turn into a very long night. And so then I saw Nancy escorting Vernon into the mansion. And I guess at that time they told him about Elvis. And then I went home, and my daughter met me at the door, and she's just crying big time. Elvis died. No, it's probably Vernon. Well, I was wrong.
Could you see it coming, Ron? Joe used to tell me, and James Burton, his guitar player, would say, you saw him getting ill for a long time. It was Elvis. He was too big to die. Did you see it coming?
You know, Elvis put on some weight on the end, but we didn't see it coming at all. It was a complete shock to me.
It was a shock to everybody. You know, when you're there all the time, seeing somebody fail in health isn't quite as obvious as people that don't see someone for long lengths of time. That's why I asked you that question, because you literally saw him virtually every day, especially when you were touring.
We did see him frequently when we were touring. We saw him just about every day, but I didn't see that coming at all. It was a total shock to me.
You were asked to stay on after he passed away, and you declined. Why was that, Ron? I'm sure the excitement of doing it with Elvis was gone.
After a couple of weeks or so after his death, I had a visit with Vernon and got some bills all straight. And I told him I had gotten hired back with the airlines. And he says, I want you to stay employed here for at least a year, and I'll pay you the same amount. And I says, no, thank you, Mr. Presley. I said, don't send me any checks, because if you do, I'll just tear them up. I'm going back with the airlines in a couple of weeks, and that's it. But I said, I'll spend, you know, a year here, and I'll help you, but I won't accept any pay for it.
Elvis liked your yellow Corvette. Did he ever buy you a car?
No, but I bought that yellow Vette, which I still have, and I bought it with the tips he gave me.
Christmas bonuses. Ron, I could talk to you for hours, and the name of the book is Destined to Fly, the story of pilot Ron Strauss, from a small little town there, Fonda, Iowa, to Elvis Presley piloting as the first officer of the Convair 880, the Lisa Marie, probably the second most famous plane in the United States, the first being Air Force One, and then Lisa Marie, which is on display across the street from Graceland. And that plane really wasn't ready to fly when you ferried it back to Memphis because it needed some instruments, and so you had a ferry permit and you had to fly low, but that was a very unique experience, knowing that that was the last time that puppy was going to be in the air.
Yeah.
Anytime you want to come back and chat more, you are always welcome here. Get the book called Destined to Fly, the story of pilot Ron Strauss, from Iowa to Elvis. Ron, thank you for joining us.
Hello. Thanks. My pleasure, Ron.
And there's more to come with Ron Seggi today.
Are you lonesome tonight? Do you miss me tonight? Are you sorry we drifted?
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
7 million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at pestworld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.
I need to file my tax return right the first time. How can I be sure to do that?
Doing your taxes yourself? Using e-file is the best way to file an accurate tax return. Mistakes can delay your refund, so spend an extra few minutes making sure you can file an accurate return the first time around. Avoid common errors by spelling all names correctly and using correct Social Security numbers. Double-check your bank account numbers for direct deposit and double-check your math, too. Oh, yeah, don't forget to sign and date your return.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
That wraps up hour number one of Ron Seggi today on our special remembrance to Elvis Presley. Coming up this Wednesday, August 16th, will mark 46 years since his passing. And my guest this first hour, author Sally Hodell with the book Destined to Die Young, and Captain Ron Strauss, the pilot for the Lisa Marie with a book that he has out called From Iowa to Elvis. Next hour, Hal Lansky from the Lansky Brothers Clothing Store, responsible for Elvis's wardrobe the first 20 years of his life. And then Julian Garr's got a book out called 100 Things Elvis Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. And that's coming up next hour with Ron Segi today.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.